John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. He is in Panama City in Central America, and we look to Ecuador on the Pacific side of the South American continent. There's continuing trouble there for the President Lasso. Quito, headline Reuters, Ecuador's National Assembly voted to declassify documents tied to investigations into allegations of corruption at public companies in a bid to shore up impeachment charges against President Lasso. I follow this story carefully, Professor, because it has elements that are exactly the same as in neighboring Peru. I begin, however, with how is it that Lasso fell out of favor with its supporters? Did he? Because the word corruption, that seems to be common currency throughout Latin America. There's nothing fresh there. So why is Lasso no longer desired?
Well, John, there have been corruption allegations against Lasso long before he became the president, and indeed also the involvement of one of his relatives, I believe his nephew, with a possible narco trafficking or organization. But on the one hand, what you have is increasing political support for investigations into that, but that also reflects a certain amount of frustration with Lasso, and in a sense by those who oppose Lasso, especially on the left. Former Ecuadorian populist leftist Rafael Correa and the people within Alianza País that he represents, the desire to kind of try to take that down and force a movement back to the left. There certainly is a sense that Lasso had become weakened when you had a referendum in February to make some important electoral changes that he lost. And then shortly after that, the indigenous organization, CONAI, that had been negotiating with him said, okay, we are going to basically abandon this and turn against you. And so I think there's a sense in Ecuador where you have not just these corruption allegations, but also a longstanding sense of frustrations over other issues, over economic performance, over rising prices, that Lasso is becoming increasingly isolated. And so there's blood in the water with his political opponents now feeling confident in the Ecuadorian Congress to try to take him down. And certainly the corruption allegations, which may or may not be true. There was, again, a report that was just put out that was basically voted on by a committee within the Ecuadorian Congress to basically look with favor upon the findings of that report. And so, again, it's not saying the report is to indict Lasso, but it's a non-binding report saying that the Ecuadorian prosecutor should go forward if it independently so chooses to go after him. So in a sense, basically the declassifying some of these allegations is a mechanism for putting more political pressure on the prosecutor's office and weakening Lasso farther as part of this concerted effort by the left to take him down.
I mention Ecuador only because we've touched on it over many weeks, Professor. You remind me, Quito is extremely attractive to me. Europeans were keen to develop that. What is this, the 17th, 18th, 19th century? It was critical for scientific investigation of latitude and longitude. I did a book about it once, so I'm attracted to it, though I'd never been there. But Quito and Washington, is there a conversation that's significant? These countries seem on opposite sides of reality. Do they work together or is there enmity?
There's actually very positive relations between Quito and Washington right now, John. Within the region, there are only a handful of nations that still are on the right side or the center of the political spectrum that have not gone left in recent years. And so of those, you have Uruguay that we talked about briefly with the Lacalle Pou regime. You have Paraguay with Mario Abdo Benitez, who is going to be replaced soon within Paraguay's upcoming elections. And you have Ecuador, as well as, of course, Costa Rica and Panama. But that's pretty much it right now on the center or right side of the spectrum. And so for Lasso to fall, again, relatively good relations under his predecessor, Lenin Moreno, relatively good relations now with Lasso in both security and other things. And so it would be very unfortunate uh, if uh, Again, he was replaced by somebody on the far left, somebody backed by Rafael Correa, the previous populist, who, again, took Ecuador relations into, dramatically increased relations in infrastructure projects and other things in China, relations with Russia and others. And so, relations are positive right now with Lhasa, one of the most positive relations we have in the region, one of the most, helpful, cooperative countries, one of the few left that is an international voice to, support things on democracy and human rights and the pushback against non-democratic actors both in and outside of the region. That relationship certainly at risk if Lhasa falls for what could be legitimate possible corruption, but also certainly enemies looking to take him down.
The final 30 seconds. Peru deserves more. We'll return to it. But the news last days was that pretrial detention term has been taken from 18 months to 36 months for the ex-president Castillo. Is there a surprise there that they're going to keep him in jail longer?
Well, it appears that Peru is going forward, following its independent judicial processes, but also certainly indicates that Dina Boluarte, the vice president, is doubling down on not backing off with the pressures from the left to release Castillo. He did, after all, try to dissolve the Peruvian Congress and did some things that would be regarded as highly undemocratic and illegal.
Right. Well, we'll return to Peru. I just mentioned that double down is absolutely accurate. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, he's in Panama City. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.